Welcome to another edition of TJ Solves here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. I host TJ Buffmarker, you live from the Intro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Solve our guest tonight on Live. You can take questions from you on our Facebook fan page and our Twitter account at TJ Slideways. Also, email at TJ@TJSlideways.com. A little later in the program, Kevin Thomas Jr., your winner at Lawrenceburg and Kokomo on Indiana Sprint Week. He will come in and talk to us about Indiana Sprint Week and everything they have going on. And he's entered for the Knoxville Nationals, too. And we're going to have audio from Brad Sweet from the post-race press conference at Eldora for the Kings Royal. But the next guest kind of stole the show a little bit for a few laps and was in contention to win the Kings Royal and was one of the big stories out of the weekend. Brandon Wimmer joining us on the line. Brandon, I've been waiting to get you back on. I mean, you did something spectacular, and you definitely did that on Saturday. Congratulations on the nice run.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on tonight. It was everything just worked out good that night. Qualified in the right spot and got into the right heat race, and had to race Tony Stewart there to transfer into the A main. And this team's been in kind of the other last few months, and finally starting to show some results now.
And this is a bit of a comeback for you. Let's try to go back to the summer of 2011. You were having some back trouble, but it turned out to be a lot more than just maybe a slip disc out of place or just a little adjustment.
Yeah, actually, for about 3 months, I went to several different doctors trying to figure out what was wrong. And I talked to Dr. Trammell, and he found that a lesion. I was actually growing on my T6 vertebrae in the middle of my back, and it was pinching the nerve right where it comes out of my spinal cord, which was causing a lot of pain and a lot of swelling. As soon as I saw Dr. Trammell, it wasn't, I think, 2 or 3 weeks later, I had surgery. And that went good, and then about a month after surgery, I started having some swelling and other issues, and they had to put me on some medication to get that to go down, and that ended up giving me a stomach ulcer. So what was supposed to be about 2 to 3 month recovery ended up being about a year, a little over a year, to finally get back to where I felt good and was able to get back in a race car.
And you didn't try to push the issue either. You waited until you were pretty much 100% to get back in.
Yeah, no, that's one thing. I didn't want to get back in unless I knew I was ready. And just with everybody that, family, friends that just were behind me and told me to make sure I was ready to go, I got, because, you know, you got the rest of your life to live, and I don't want to push it and go hurt my back even worse and have to deal with that the rest of my life. So it was kind of something that I wanted to make sure I was ready. And also, I've got to thank Pit Fit Training and Jim Leo. They were behind me. Jets where Joey Saldana went when he had his problems, and they really helped me get back into the shape that I need to be in to get back in a race car.
And I was just going to ask you that question. You led me right into it. This is one thing that kind of led you to change your fitness regimen quite a bit. How has that benefited you in the race car?
This sport's become a lot more where you got to be in shape. I mean, the car, it's just you're so demanding, and you're out there night in and night out. And the thing with PitFit, which me and Joey talk about all the time, is that they are specific to drivers. They work with all different drivers, from IndyCar to drag cars, and they do a lot of stuff that makes sure reaction training and not just lifting and cardio. It's a little bit of everything that makes you get, when you get back in the car, they're going to make sure you're ready to go.
And of course, that led to you getting back in the car this year. You did some races out west, and all of a sudden, as things shook out, you eventually ended up with Destiny Motorsports. How did that deal come together?
It was actually a deal where everything is staying at Scott Bennett's in Fairmount, Indiana, right where I'm from. And it's kind of one of those deals where I work for our family business, and it's just I'd come over at night and hang out and talk. And I've known Scott since I was a little kid. He worked on the 7TW cars, the crew chief for Jeff Swindell and Joe Gertie and all those guys back in the 90s. So I grew up around him and just kind of always been friends, and it just kind of worked out to where he kind of helped talk to Rick and Barb Rogers, the owners, and they we worked a deal out just to give me a chance for a few weeks, and we're 2 months in and we're starting to really get going good now.
And of course, one of the big things, you managed to get a feature win at Waynesfield a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's it was a big confidence boost. I mean, being out of the car as long as I was, it's been good to have the support of Rick and Barb behind me and Scott. I mean, they've been behind me 100%, which just, it makes it a lot easier getting into a race car when you know your owner and your crew chief is behind you 100%. And we've been working hard, and the win was definitely a confidence boost, and it just has helped us get to where we got to this weekend, where we're out there racing with the best guys out there for a win, to win the King's Royal.
And you and Sweet both ran Ohio Speed Week races, and you ran the Speed Week race at Eldora. How instrumental was getting that early lap time in late June to help prepare you for the King's Royal?
It definitely helped. I mean, it's anytime you can get a lap at a place, definitely with the new tires that we've been running. We actually were running really good at Speed Week, I think fourth or so at the Speed Week show, and I bounced off the turn too long, got a flat tire. But, I mean, anytime you can go somewhere before a big race is going to help, because it'll help you get a standard set up where you're going to start the night out. And I think it was definitely instrumental in getting us to where we were this past weekend.
And let's go to the King's Royal night. You qualified okay, kind of mid-pack, but then you find yourself lined up in that sixth heat race. And as a driver, what were you thinking when you know that format and you're in that magic heat that's going to put you on the pole if you win it for the King's Royal?
The big deal at Eldora is getting a good start. You have to get a good start, definitely in the heat races. And I didn't get a bad start. I could have been better, but actually I was able to, Dean Jacobs slid up in front of me, and I was able to kind of run in the middle of the track and get by him, and I saw Tony Stewart below me going in through one and two, and I was able to get in front of both of them, and just got going after that. But you think about it when you're outside the car, but once you're inside the car, you're just kind of concentrating on doing the best you can on that race when you're on the track.
And, of course, you ended up on the pole of probably what we'd consider the second biggest sprint car race in the world. And you not only kept the car up there, but you were in contention to win. At one point, you were racing three wide with Sweet and Donnie Schatz for the lead for the King's Royal.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a good night. I mean, before the feature went out, that's one thing Scott told me. He goes, let's go. And it's also a thing that Rick and Barb have been pressing. We want to go come out here and show them that we belong and that we can race with them. And when I jumped in the car after getting introduced on the front stretch, Scott came up to me and told me good luck and said, let's go show them that we belong out here. And that's we're a new team. It's our first year together. We've been together 2 months, and we're just out here trying to prove that we can race with the best. And hopefully we just get better as the year goes on.
Of course, Brandon Wimmer joining us here on TJ Slideways Live. And Brandon, and there was a red flag during the where they opened it up to the crews. Did you guys make any adjustments on the open red? And if you did it make you better, or did it kind of set you back a little bit?
Yeah, we just added some fuel, and we tried to tighten the car up some. You don't have a whole lot of time, really, once the crew gets out there and gets fuel and checks the air pressure. There's not a lot of time to really do much since they put you on a clock for reds. We tightened the car up a little, but it helped, but it wasn't enough to keep up with the top three. I mean, I'd say the first 20 laps we were really good. That's when we were running for the lead, and I might have run the tires a little too hard that first half trying to pass Sweet and Schatz for the lead. And we gave it all we had, and we did the best we could, and we're just happy that we were able to come away with a fourth place finish with the kind of people that we were racing with.
And not only that, but at one point when you're chasing down Sweet through traffic for the lead, he had to contend with Sammy Swindell. Sammy ran him really hard, tried to lap him. When you're the second-place driver and you see the leader and they're getting run that hard by a lap car, does that just make you kind of salivate a little bit, sit up in the seat a little bit more? What's your mentality when you see that taking place in front of you?
You just got to – the main thing is just to stay calm and kind of – I could see him racing with him for a few laps. I kind of had an idea by the time I actually caught him of what he was doing, each corner trying to get by him. So it was kind of a deal by the time I actually got to him, I knew I was going to try to slide him into one and two. And I tried to make it work. He was able to drive back under me. But just one of those deals where you got to really look ahead and see what he's doing and try to make your move when you get close enough.
Were you surprised by the reaction to your fourth place finish? You have gotten a ton of well wishes online and in person and stuff. It seems like this might have been the feel-good story other than sweet of the Kings Royal this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been amazing the way the fans and my friends and family have all been behind me. This deal is a deal where if you're gone for a while, people just kind of forget about you. And for Rick and Barb to give me this chance and to Scott to be behind me, to get into a good car again, and then to go and have a good finish and the fans show their support has just been amazing. These deals out here, you just never know what's going to happen. And I'm just fortunate enough to be healthy again and to be in a good race car where we can compete.
So now that we have the Kings Royal behind us, what's the plan now at this point? Where are we going to see you racing the next few weeks? And I assume you're going to be taking this thing to Nationals. Are we going to see it both the 360 and the 410 Nationals? I mean, where are we going to see Brandon Wimmer over the next 3 weeks or so?
The plan is to go at least this weekend, go to Knoxville and get some laps. We are going to run the 360 and the 410 Nationals. And then after that, as long as everything's going good, our plan is to fully outwalk through their West Coast swing, basically through the whole month of August. So, but we'll just see how the next few weeks go. Our main goal now is to go get laps so we're prepared and ready for the Nationals, and hopefully we can get a good showing there too.
Now, have you ever been in a position where you could go to Knoxville ahead of time before the Nationals and actually get laps like that?
No, not really. I mean, when we owned our own car, we kind of followed the All-Stars or the Outlaws. You know, you only go there maybe once or twice a year before the Nationals. So this is definitely, I mean, this is one of the best opportunities that I've had going into Knoxville to where we can go get some laps and we can get the car prepared so that when we do show up for both 360 and 410 Nationals, we can feel like we're prepared and ready for the big show.
And obviously you and Scott Bennick must have some chemistry. I mean, like you said, you grew up with him working on the family race cars when you guys had your own car. But what is it like now to actually drive with him wrenching the car?
It actually worked out really good. I mean, like I said, he's a great friend of the family. And my grandpa was actually telling me today that it's just amazing that he can remember when I was a little kid asking Scott all the time, what are you doing that for? Why are you doing that? And to now to be where we seem to be communicating really well, and we work together. What we say every week is that we work together as a team, and our results are as a team. And it's just the communication's been really good, and it's just great to have a smart guy like that wrenching the car behind you. When every time I go out, I'm feel confident I'm going to have a race car underneath me that's capable of winning.
Well, Brandon, I can remember you turning your laps at your first Kings Royal, and you missed the show that year, but I remember you were determined and you're happy with where you ended up, and look at you now, finishing fourth in the race, and you have a lot of momentum going into Knoxville. So we're really glad to have you back. Congratulations, and look forward to seeing how stuff turns out for you in the next few weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on tonight.
All right. Brandon Wimmer joining us on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And what a great story from this past weekend. Like I said, a couple of guys, Scott Bennick had been doing some USAC stuff. He's been away from the wing stuff for a while. Right? He has his own speed shop and stuff, so he's in touch with it. But he hasn't worked on a ton of wing stuff. And then you get him and Brandon Wimmer together with Destiny Motorsports, and they go out and have a great run at the Kings Royal. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back on the other side, we have Kevin Thomas Jr. as part of the show, and then also audio from Brad Sweet from the Kings Royal. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
J. Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
For sprint car fans, to catch live video and audio webcast of the Sprints on Dirt program Saturday night, co-sanctioned with the National Racing Alliance from Crystal Motor Speedway. Free live video and audio from Crystal. So if you can't get to the track this weekend, you can dial up Races on the Web, the same network we appear on. And you can listen to the SOD NRA Showdown, Big 360 Sprint Car Program at the Crystal Motor Speedway. And our next guest had a big weekend to open Indiana Sprint Week. He was your feature winner at the Kokomo Speedway and the Lawrenceburg Speedway, and is currently second in Indiana Sprint Week points to Dave Darwin. Joining us on the line, Kevin Thomas Jr. Kevin, thanks for joining us tonight on a very busy week for you and your race team.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. And we've definitely had a busy week. It's paid off two nights for us, so we're just excited to be here.
Well, let's talk about Kokomo for a moment. You were sixth quick, and you're in like the perfect position that would have put you on the pole of the heat or the feature. But then you ended up having to overcome some adversity because you ended up with some trouble in the heat race.
We did. We put ourselves in a great position to be on the front row of the feature, and during the heat race, I thought it was going to be pretty smooth sailing. We were running third. We were just passing for second, and we got a little scuffle, and we ended up on the hook, and so we had to go through the B main, and I don't want to say that I like running the B main, but it did kind of help us. We seen what the track was going to do, and it was kind of a hearsay deal, but we were pretty good, and then we started eighth in the feature, and we just kind of picked our way up through there and ended up getting the win.
And from what Dad told me, Bob was there on Sunday or Saturday, and he said that Wes McIntyre gave you everything you wanted and more. Heck of a race for the win there.
Yeah, Wes Mack's my buddy, and it was cool racing him for the win, and I can't really say more than that. It's just I seen the nose up there, and I just looked over, and it was just a plain white car. That's the only person I could think of. It was Westmac, and he had a great run. He's really coming to his own. He had a pretty good run last night at Lawrenceburg also, with a second quick, and I think he finished sixth. So it's pretty cool to see him running well and us also.
Now, as race fans, we all know why we love Kokomo, why we think that's such an awesome racetrack. But for the racers, why are racers so drawn to that place? It seems like just virtually every non-wing racer I talk to just absolutely loves Kokomo.
Yeah, it's got a distinctive line and way you have to run that place. It's real fun. Both corners are different. One, you run right up on the fence, and one, you can run the bottom and the middle, and it's real different. It's fast. It's little. You're always busy. There's always cars. It's real wide and racy. So it's always just a fun place to go and to race with the best of the best. That's for sure.
And of course, you went down to the beautiful Lawrenceburg Speedway on Sunday. You didn't qualify quite as well, eighth quick, but it ended up working out well for you because you nailed the final transfer spot in the heat race. And then, man, you cleaned up after, there was a rain delay, but you cleaned up on it, man. You had all but two laps of the feature on Sunday, second win in a row.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we didn't qualify good. Like you said, we qualified eighth, and this time it actually did play into our favor. Two people missed the show, and that put us on the pole, and I really didn't get that great of a start. Scotty Weir got a real good start, and it was still just a bit greasy on the bottom from where it rained. The track was already going to be pretty heavy, and then it rained, and then it was really heavy. So whoever was starting on the inside row, it was pretty tough for him to get the jump. So I fell back to second, actually third. Stockton passed me, and he bounced up into the wall and gave me a shot at Scotty. I think he had a motor failure on a restart, and that let us jump out to the lead on, I think, lap two. It was pretty much smooth sailing from there. The lap traffic was a little thick, but you'll have that whenever you have a real fast racetrack. They're going to be everywhere. So we kind of weaved our way in and out of traffic and got the win.
And, of course, that puts you in a good position for the rest of Indiana Speed Week. Got a couple of wins, but you're still chasing Darland in the Sprint Week point standings. What would it mean to you to take home one of those rocking chairs for winning Indiana Sprint Week?
It would mean the world. That's been my long goal for forever. I mean, ever since I started racing sprint cars, I've always wanted to win that. Now this is a prime opportunity, and if I can take advantage of that, that'd be great. But Darland's real strong. Even if we win every race, I mean, he's probably going to finish second. So that's just the way he is. He's real consistent, and he's one of the best. It's hard to shake the old guy, but we'll do what we can.
Now, bigger picture thing here. You're from Cullman, Alabama. How does a kid from Alabama get the desire to want to go USAC sprint car racing? What drew you to this?
Well, my dad, he grew up around West Memphis, so he grew up watching Sammy Swindell and all those people down there at West Memphis run wing with sprint cars, and he's always had a love for it. I mean, I played stick and ball sports my whole life, and I never really got into the motorsports until I was probably 15 or 14, and I raced a mini sprint every now and then. It kind of basically just fell into it. My dad had a great love for it, He made a bet. He said, if you beat me, we'll focus on your career. And I ended up beating him. So we ended up running a few mini sprint races and got pretty decent in that. And then we got a wingless sprint car. And I raced for probably 2, 3, 4 years. We kind of struggled. I mean, dad was crew chief. I was just a driver. I was a young kid. Didn't know too much about the sport. Whenever I graduated high school, I just moved to Indiana. And I just kind of took the bull by the horns, and they just threw me out to the wolves and said, here you go. I had to learn the hard way, that's for sure. It taught me a lot, and I appreciate things a little bit more now whenever they happen to me. For us to be in the situation that we're in, being second in sprint week points, and I think we're third in national points, it's just a good feeling.
And this year, this is your first season working with crew chief Mike Dutcher. And we've known Dutch around here for years. He used to wrench cars up here and all around. What has he brought to the program with you that's made your life easier as a driver?
Yeah, he's just so smart. He pays attention to the track I think, better than anybody in the business. And whenever you can keep up with a track better than everybody and set up a car that rotates the corners and that you can go to the cushion, you can go to the bottom, you can go to the middle, it makes my life easy, that's for sure. And he's just great to work with. He don't really say much, but whenever he don't say anything, that's when you know he's focused. And he just does wonders for us and the team. He's so organized, and preparation for this week really is a big key. And he is organized, prepared every step of the way. And it makes my job easy to do things like Cadillacs.
Is it anything like you thought it would be going into it, or what has surprised you about, joining forces with RW and Dutcher here? What's been like the thing that you thought that might be a little bit better than has gone maybe a little bit better than you anticipated?
Yeah, I never really talked to Dutch before this. I talked to him every once in a while, and so I never really got a chance to know him. But to be honest, I was like, man, this guy's not very nice. And so once I got to working with him, he's just focused at the racetrack. He don't got time for anything else. His main goal is to win the race. And once you get into that predicament, and once you see it from the inside, it's just an awesome, awesome feeling, because that guy's there to win the race just like you are every single night. And it's a lot better than what I expected, to be honest.
Well, that's good.
He's just nice to work with, and he really reads into other people's driving styles, because he's had me, he's had Brian Clausen, he's had Casey Riggs, Josh Wise, and none of us four drive the same. So he really adapts to other drivers as well, and it's not just, hey, here's a setup, you drive it, and it's either my way or the highway. He really adapts to a lot of things, and I think that's why he's the best in the world.
Of course, Kevin Thomas Jr. joining us here on the hotline. Now, I was getting ready to do some pre-story work for the upcoming Knoxville Nationals, and I'm looking through the entry list, and all of a sudden, the other day, Kevin Thomas Jr. in the RW Motorsport 17 popped onto the entry list. So you're going winged 410 racing here in a few weeks. Let's talk about that for a moment. How much winged sprint car experience do you have?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I have zero. I've never even sat in one. So I don't even know what's going to happen. But no, that's, he came from wing sprint car. So I feel like he's going to give me a pretty good race car. And we're just going to go from there. We're already going to be in Knoxville for, the USAC races at Oskaloosa. And we're just like, man, well, we enter a race car and the pit passes are cheaper. And so we were like, well, let's see if we can put a qualifying effort down and just go from there. We're not really going in with a bunch of expectations or going in with a rookie driver that's going to have zero laps to his name in a wing car. But I got faith in Dutch. He gives me great race cars every night. And we'll just go from there. I talked to my buddy Kyle Larson. He's really taught me a lot about keeping the elbows tucked and wing speed and just a few things like that really prepare you for racing and not just qualifying. So we're just going to go from there. If we put down a good lap, then we look good. If we don't, then we're just going to be like, well, he's a wingless driver.
Kevin Thomas Jr. joining us. And nothing like jumping off the deep end, man. I mean, you're only going to the biggest sprint car race in the world to start your 410 career with a wing. So go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That puts a new meaning to go big or go home. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. It's one of the greatest races in the world. I think it's the biggest sprint car race ever in history. So if we can go out there and do pretty decent, I'll be happy. I've never even been to the Knoxville Nationals. I've never even seen the track. So all of this is going to be new to me, and I'm just going to just go about it just like any other race. It's just going to be a little faster.
Now, you're now in Big Ten country, and I know you're a big Alabama football fan. You've got the Alabama A on your helmet and stuff. How much are you looking forward to college football season?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm one of the, I don't want to say I'm a big Alabama fan, because there's some hardcore guys down there in Alabama, but I definitely am a fan. I'm looking forward to it a bunch. I think Ole Miss might give us a run for our money this year. They they stole a lot of recruits, and we'll just go from there. I love football season, so that's pretty much where I'll be during this winter.
Kevin Thomas Jr. Joining us. Well, Kevin, wish you best of luck the rest of Sprint Week, and look forward to seeing you make your first winged 410 sprint car laps around the Knoxville Raceway. It should be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate it. We should be good to go from there. We'll just take everything as it goes and just see where our winged sprint car goes, too.
All right. Kevin Thomas Jr., best of luck this week, and we'll talk to you at Knoxville.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. See y'all.
All right. Thanks. Kevin Thomas Jr., your winner at Kokomo and the Lawrenceburg Speedways. We're going to take another commercial break. But first, we got to welcome a new sponsor on board for TJSlideways.com. We'd like to welcome Slade Shock Technology and Eric Slade joining the family of TJSlideways.com. Of course, we've known Eric for years, but he has NASCAR experience, and he can set you up with shocks and bump stops and everything that you need. We're going to be cutting his ad sometime next week for the show. But Slade Shock Technology, the latest addition to the TJ Slideways family here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to talk about the Kings Royal last week, and we're going to have some audio from Brad Sweet from the post-race press conference. You're listening to TJ Slideways live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Slideway Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. Open wheel racers and teams, if you're interested in having an image of your car appear in the upcoming Open Wheel Parts and Accessories catalog for All-Star Performance, you need to visit allstarperformance.com or look up All-Star Performance on their Facebook page. There's contact information on there where you can send a high-resolution image and get your car in the newest edition of the Open Wheel Parts and Accessories catalog. And that catalog goes all over the world. You're going to want to get your hands on that. Once again, allstarperformance.com. And Saturday night, Brad Sweet pulled a tremendous victory off at Eldora Speedway. And we're talking about a kid that came out here to the Midwest, didn't have a ton of money. One thing we always hear about in racing these days is, oh, I don't have enough money to go do this. I don't have enough money to make it. Well, this kid didn't have a ton of money to make it. He showed up here with a pickup truck and about as small of an enclosed trailer as you could get and his sprint car. And he literally just forged his way into eventually a ride with Casey Kane Racing and also a NASCAR deal. And Sweet was just elated to win the King Trail. He's probably one of the most excited I've seen in ages to win one of the big races. And normally, I don't play press conference audio. It's usually a lot of people asking questions, and it doesn't usually turn out real well. But and we probably could have gotten Brad on this week or taped something with him. At least at Casey Kane Racing always does a great job helping us land guests over there. But I wanted you guys to hear this. It's myself, Jeremy Elliott from the Patriot News, and Greg Billing, and one other gentleman from one of the local papers in Ohio. The four of us are conducting the interview, and I want you to listen to this. This is what it sounds like when you win the King's Royal and just make your dream come true. Here's Brad Sweet immediately following the King's Royal.
What
this is a long time coming. You run so well here.
Yeah, yeah. It took a few years, you know. This is not an easy track, and for the people that are good, they're good at running right near the wall. And I was Joey Saliana's teammate for a few years, and he taught me a lot. And you know, and it was just slowly but surely I got comfortable here. And over the last four or five times, I felt like we were one of the cars to beat, along with Gary Matz and a few other guys here and there. But we were definitely knocking on the door, and it's a good race to finally break through.
Those last five laps, were you starting to get nervous when you came up on the lap cars again?
Yeah, those are the longest 15 laps, I'll tell you. Like, I knew it was 15. That's a long heat race, basically, you know. So it was just counting them down a little bit. And, you know, I knew that when I would get out clean air, I could pull away because my car felt really good. And as long as I didn't mess up, I wasn't going to put myself in jeopardy of getting past. So just wanted to be careful when I got to lap traffic that I timed it right. And I was able to time those last couple lap cars to where I got by them, you know, fairly good. Hopefully, you just never know how close anybody is, but you're just trying to get off the corners as best you can. And I felt like I did pretty good. I felt like probably someone was probably closing in, but, you know, it's just all you can do to get by them lappers.
And you're not getting start out with it either.
No, I tell you what, to win the King's Royal after being 35th quick with a blown engine in qualifying is a testament to my crew and how good this car really was. Able to come from 6th in the heat and win it is, you know, it's not unheard of, but it's definitely doing something here. So that was that definitely set up our night. You know, we get that heat race was really a crucial part. And we got through that really good. And the A main, I knew if I got out front, I just needed to, you know, pick my battles, you know, as good as I could. And in those double foul restarts made me really nervous, but I was able to fend off both of those. So, you know, it's pretty unbelievable. Hasn't really sunk in yet, but it's pretty cool to say that I can put my name on the trophy with all the greats that have won this race.
Brad, you had a heck of a promising career in USAC. What was the reason that everybody thought, you know, this was just kind of a few one-offs that you were going to run in that car? You look like you're making it a career. Just curious if that's the case and if this kind of solidifies that idea.
I mean, I think that if you win the Kings Rally, you're doing something, and you obviously are making a living at doing it. You know, it's pretty cool that I don't run full-time with these guys and to come run win one of their biggest races, you know, just shows how strong our team is. You know, we're just, you know, if we went on the road, I think we'd be a contender night in and night out. We don't. And, you know, and when we do come out, we are a contender. So it's, you know, I've never won a huge 410 race. This is only my second Outlaw win. And I've always dreamed of winning at Eldora, let alone the Kings Royal. So it's just unbelievable.
That second restart, you chose the inside line rather than the outside line. Why?
So I felt like Donnie had me beat on that first one. He just maybe didn't realize it. And he's such a clean racer that he left the top open, just probably thinking that, you know, I was there or whatever. But he just had me beat, and I knew my engine wasn't taking off that great, really. And I figured I needed to control my destiny a little better if I restarted on the bottom the next time. You know, that way, if Donnie was side by side with me, I could, you know, slide up in front of him. So,
how instrumental was running some of the all-star stuff you've been running here and getting you comfortable and putting you in this position?
Yeah, you know, we learned a lot at that all-star race. We came here as a test and tune night for this race for sure that night, and we missed a little bit and took a lot of notes. And you know, we were pretty darn good last night, and then you know, even a little better tonight. So I feel like we got a really good package for here, and you know, it's just we've been strong here. We should have won the Outlaw race earlier in the year, and we should have run top three at the other Outlaw race. So we're right there, and then, you know, pick up the win's awesome.
How critical was that, Red? I mean, you're coming up on Sammy. You've had problems left in Sammy all weekend, and then Donnie was actually closing in on you quick. How big was that, Red?
Well, I just don't understand, you know, like, Sammy, why he raced me so hard. I understand he's trying to stay on the lead lap, but, you know, obviously he knows what a good car feels like here, and he wasn't obviously feeling as good as he could. I just don't know why he had to give me such fits. I understand racing's racing, and you got to pass the lappers. So, you know, I'm not really complaining. I just wish he didn't race me so hard. And, you know, I knew any time that you blow a corner like that and you don't get past the lap car, you're just setting yourself up for, you know, the guy behind you getting a run on you. So I knew I was in a little bit of trouble there. I didn't like it, but, you know, I just did the best I could to close off all the holes and to fight off all the challengers.
Brad, you mentioned earlier that, you know, talking about how high you got to run up here up against the wall, and guys are, I mean, literally getting a side bite off of the wall there. How different is that compared to what you're kind of used to running, and how difficult is it to adjust to that?
Well, that's why I say coming here is something that you build a comfort level for. It takes a while, and it took me, you know, 10 or so races to get comfortable here. I remember the first time I came here was an All-Star Speed Week race in like 2009, and I was a fish out of water. And, you know, slowly but surely we built a package, and like I said, me and Joey Stoudemire's teammate, you know, helped me understand. And once you get comfortable, it's not as hard to run near the wall. You don't wear yourself out. You're not as tensed up. So, like tonight, it was, you know, I was really comfortable with where I was running. You know, and it's just, like I said, it's just a hats off to how good our car is, too, to feel that way.
Could you imagine when you were a kid coming out here to Midwest first time, sleeping in the back of your pickup truck on everyone's couches, that you'd be sitting here as the Kings Royal winner?
I can't believe it. I don't think that, like, when Casey Kane hired me, that he thought I'd be the next guy that won the Kings Royal for him either. You know, he hired me to drive his midgets, and I won Belleville, and I won 4 crown races here, and we've won a lot of races together, but I don't think that he would ever thought I would have won the Kings Royal, and I definitely didn't think so.
You said pretty good pace going out there, letting every lap. And at some point you start to worry, you know, my tire's going to go. Am I out there too fast? Am I, you know?
Yeah, it's a sprint car race, so it's like, you know that everybody's giving it all they got every lap. So I don't know how close they are, and I want to get the biggest possible lead I can. So I drive, you know, in the realm, you know, you just drive as hard as you can without, you know, just killing your tires. You know, obviously there's a fine line there, but you run every lap like a qualifying lap, pretty much. It's good.
All right, that's Brad Sweet from the Kings Royal press conference, and what an awesome deal to see somebody like that win that big sprint car race. It was a great show and a great day at Eldora. I mean, just a beautiful day weather-wise, and I don't think you could have asked for more a better weather day than we had, especially with all the storms and stuff people had to suffer through in that area earlier in the week, and especially Northwest Ohio, where people are still cleaning up from all the storms and such up there. But it was amazing to see Sweet do the job he did, and then he was just so excited to win that race. He's just thrilled. And that team's got some momentum. That could be a team to watch as maybe a little bit of a dark horse at the Nationals coming up in a couple of weeks. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on Races on the Web. This week, we're going to try to make it out to Tri-City Motor Speedway, our first ever visit there. New track for me on Friday night. I think Bob's going to go out to Spartan. And then Saturday, I think I might venture down to Kalamazoo or Crystal. I haven't decided which one, or I might even do both. You never know. I might stop by for all apps and practice at one, and then dive up to Crystal for the races. We haven't decided yet, but we're going to make our way around, so we'll be out the races this weekend. And of course, Knoxville Nationals right around the corner, and knock on wood, as long as everything comes together the way it's looking like right now, we'll be in Marion County the week of the Knoxville Nationals. So for TJSlideways.com and everybody who works on the website, thank you to all my contributors. What a great week we had with all the big races, and this was a good way to wrap it up. We'll do it again here on Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern next week. Thank you, and good night.